Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for August 4th, 2024. Alex, are you ready? Welcome.
Guys, this is my very first time. It's like literally my first week.
Literally, I love that you submitted a question and you're right here.
Because, we got some hurdles to get over, and I wanted to hit the ground running.
Oh, you're
So,
so brave, and I respect that completely. So, your victory, which I'd love to celebrate, is that your income surpassed your monthly number in July. Fantastic.
that was a big deal. And by the way, a lot of that was due to the audiobooks.
Sweet, which is what we're talking about today, because that's sort of like your side income stuff. Maybe you're a cash flow kitten, but are you a cash flow cat? I mean,
I don't know. So just a 30-second background. I am an on-camera actor and a voiceover actor. And when I started with Miata, I did the whole like, how much is your acting actually like giving you? And I just redid it for the last, sort of 2/3 of 2021 through half of 2024. And it's about, where is that number? It's about $1,500 a month. Like, averages out to about $1,500 a month for other voiceover stuff and on-camera stuff. And so I started the audiobook to supplement. So that's where we are. That was my 30-second thing.
Okay, yeah. So, that's tremendous. It's all good. It doesn't really matter. It just for the people listening to the calls, it's like, okay, we're working with someone who's newer to this particular side business versus someone who's earned some money, had their first couple clients, but it sounds like you've had your first couple clients with audiobooks.
So I have a few clients, a couple of repeat publishers, and basically one of the reasons I'm here is to see if there's any way, if there's anything additionally that I should be doing sort of for that business, or if it really is like a mindset, plus maybe I need another side hustle, which I'm really hoping you tell me I don't have to do yet, because it's a lot.
It's a lot. So I would say you're a cash flow cat in your side business because you've had some clients. And then, so as you said, your side income is your audio book that supplements your acting and your voiceover career. Love it. Love it. Okay. So you had two questions. And the first one is your narration world has been consistently increasing. I love that. You're pretty good about marketing and have recently expanded your ideas into social media with an eye towards producers and publishers in that field.
Authors as well, yeah.
Authors, that's great. And so it's just sort of like, haha, what more to get work? So, and then you have a mindset question, which we'll talk about separately. But as far as like the marketing for this, how have you got your clients in the past? Like, how did you connect with the people you're already working with?
It was, it's been a little bit of a multi thing. When I first started doing the audiobooks, I did workshops with producers and publishers to try to get in front of them and be able to, one, name to face, and also be able to do a little bit of reading for them so that they had a sense of me. And then I did following up with emails to those people. And I also did, I don't know how much you know about the audiobook world or how much everybody here
A
knows about
little
the
bit.
audiobook world, but there is an annual conference. And so I did the online conference in 2022, which online conferences suck, basically, let's be honest. But then I did the in-person conference in 2023 and really made sure that I ran into people that I was sort of just mostly emailing with. There were like a few people out in LA, publishers, producers here. I've gone to like lunch with one of them, but it's been a lot of sort of consistent, like checking in with them every couple of months. And I talk to a narrator who's a little bit ahead of me in her journey, and she actually, for people she knows and has worked with, or people who are trying to get her work, she kind of does it like every month just to say sup or hey or planning my next 3 months. So I'm smack dab in the middle right now of, you caught me on two ends. I did a first set on Thursday and I'm doing second set on Tuesday of follow-up emails, and that's to about 60 to 80 people. Some of whom, I have two different lists. I have the known list, which includes people who have either auditioned me or hired me or just we have a correspondence. I have
Love
an
it.
unknown list, which is just people I've either thrown into the dark hallway of whatever, or you know, maybe I met them but they still haven't responded to me via email. That's, they're still unknowns. And then, so yeah, so I did most of the knowns on Thursday. I'm doing like the rest of the knowns and the unknowns on Tuesday. And then I've also been, like I said, like DMing and sort of commenting and stuff on authors whose books like I've just done. And then my next dive is my friend gave me an interesting hack in Audible that I'm gonna try, just in terms of like research and connecting directly about upcoming books, which I've never done. So that's sort of my, that's what I've done in the past and kind of like my current onslaught plan.
First of all, Alex, that's amazing. You're checking all of the box, the major boxes, and you're doing it in a systematic, organized fashion. So huge kudos. What? Tell me your last three jobs, exactly how you got them, from what contact or from what action?
So, I just f came off of five books. The first one was the second in a row of three huge YA books, and so I knew that was coming down the pike. How was I? That casting director who had hired me for the first one and therefore for the series, that was workshop and then follow-ups. And I believe that I met her at the 2023 APAC, but I think I'd already done the first book by then. So that was like an initial workshop and then consistent sort of every few months following up. The second two books were actually that same company, and they had asked me to do a sample and they loved my sample, so I got those from that. The fourth was from a publisher. The last two guys were requests, and that was a big deal in my world. So fourth was from a publisher who I had done a middle grade series for her, and again stayed in touch with her, run into her at conferences. I spent a ton of money and went to the Audies the last 2 years so that I could also run into publishers. And I've just stayed in touch with her in sort of those multiple ways. And then the last one, which I'm so happy about, was from a publisher from that same company who he had kind of, sort of a long story, but basically there's something called quick pitch where you can throw your hat in a ring, and if you get accepted, you get to quote unquote meet, though you don't know who any of them later, and you just pitch yourself in like 60 seconds, literally. Very stressful. To a black screen, by the way, because you can't see anybody's face.
That's super
Yeah,
fun.
I know, so fun. I had done a pre-reach out to a bunch of publishers I knew to say, don't know if you're gonna be in quick pitch, but if you are, just so you know, I got in, super excited, maybe I'll see you there.
That was super smart.
Thank you. And one of the people who responded to me was like, I've retired from doing that, but like, let's do a meeting.
Right.
Just you and me. So I was like, that's amazing. So I met with him and he had some great thoughts for me because he's been trying to pitch me for adult stuff. And so we went back and forth and he helped me with my adult samples, like getting them to be the best they could be. And then again, out of the blue, I got this request of availability on his behalf for a middle grade, ironically, not for an adult, because I would stop to audition for him for adult, but for a middle grade book. And so that's how those most recent five kind of came to be.
Okay. So for everybody listening, this is why I said that when I said, oh my gosh, that was so smart. She got into a thing that had a gatekeeper. They had to pick you for the pitch thing. And then she goes back to her contacts and says, hey guys, I just got into this thing, which is a stamp of validation. This group said, yes, I'm good. And then you let all your people know. And someone who's like, oh, well, I'm not going to go to that thing, but since they want you, I want you too, which is very often how that works. So that was super smart to leverage and make even more out of that opportunity. So I like the way your brain is thinking.
Guys, to be fair, I was taught that a few years ago for on-camera stuff, so it's not my idea, but I remembered it.
Hey, guys, all of the stuff I ever am going to say to you isn't my idea either. It's stuff I learned from sitting in Barnes & Noble and reading marketing book after marketing book and taking notes in binders because I couldn't afford to buy the books and then just applying it to my life and seeing what works and what I could do a little bit better.
Yeah
we're not inventing a wheel here.
Okay, fair.
But other people heard that and didn't absorb it. And other people heard it and absorb it and didn't apply it.
Mm.
And you did all of that. Mm. And that's what I'm congratulating you for.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So why do you think you got chosen to narrate those five books? What is it about you? Why did they choose you?
I think that there is an empathy to my narration, and also there can be a sort of irreverence to my narration, depending on the care, you know, depending on who the character is that I'm first person or third person narrating. Because the voice of the narrators were all different ages and levels. So the first girl is 12, or no, 15. The second was a mid-20s, very badass, irreverent. The third was a 21-year-old, sort of shyer human. The fourth was such a heartbreaking book, but it was a very innocent into too wise of a 16-year-old, because she's, you know, put in the system very early and all the things that you can imagine happen to a human happened to her. And then the last one was a very cute, spunky, neurotic 11-year-old. And so I think I play a lot of colors, but I think if I had to come down to one word, it would be the empathy of the narrator and the characters. Because consistently that's what I'm always bringing to the books that I narrate.
And what does the empathy imbue? Like, you bring it, and how does that make it better for the listener?
I mean, sometimes I'll be quite honest. I think it might be a little exhausting for the listener, so I'm working on that a little bit. But because I do have a lot of energy, so I'm working on that. But I think that it puts them in the soul of the experience. Like, even if it's a third person narration, you're really being put in the physically, or as physically as you can, you're being put into the story. And having an empathic narrator who is flexible in terms of perception, right? Like how she is perceived, by the world, whether she's shy or whether she's, irreverent or what have you, that matters less than really being in that person's experience and therefore allowing the listener to be in that experience with them. Sense.
Okay, yeah. So when you're sending out little, hey there, hi there, I'm still alive and still doing this marketing stuff, you want to make sure that you are telling them about you and what you bring to the table. Not just that you are an audiobook narrator and that you are available for hire, but this is why you would pick me. This is why my past clients have chosen me to help bring their text alive. And I think even those three points are really great. Because of my emotional intelligence, I really bring empathy to my narration, which I'm not just reading words, but I'm bringing the reader into the soul of the story because I understand people. And I really understand the female experience through the arc of preteen into adulthood. I've played 11, 15, 20, six wise beyond their years. And in stories where there was real rough terrain for the character to go through, not just happy go lucky, although that's fun too. And I bring an irreverence to my narration. When that's necessary, I can do that. That's one of my sweet spots. That's a nice word to use. So even those three things, the empathy, the irreverence, and the fact that you can really understand and bring alive the full age arc of characters. Now I know what problem you can solve for me.
Got it.
Because that's the only reason they're picking you is, oh, she can solve the problem that we have.
Right. And would you, because I try to keep these as short as possible,
Yes.
especially for people who don't know me, but
Yes.
even for people who do, like nobody wants to read an email. Would you sort of bullet point those three things, like to try to keep it kind of streamlined?
There's several ways you can do it. And you just, because if you're hitting these people monthly or quarterly, you just mix it up. So sometimes you can just say, hey, the next time you're looking, the next time you have a book that, really, the character really goes through, she's young, but she goes through some stuff that really, matures her. And however you would word that, teaches her about life. That's one of my favorite arcs to narrate, and I do it to great success. So you could just pull one thing out. Hey, the next time you need a little irreverence in your narration, you've got a, really a fun character that leaps off the page, and you want to make sure she also leaps into the re listener's ears. That's me. I can do that for you.
Got it.
You're telling them what you, hey, the next time this is your problem, I can solve it, is what you're saying. Hey, the next time you have this problem, I can solve it. The next time you're looking for, a mom to sell juice, I'm, da -da -da,
Right.
like, because that's the only reason they're hiring you. They have a problem and they think you can solve it.
Got it.
And so you want to point out what you're really good at. Better than other people. If you need this, me. Okay, so that's one way to do it. Another way to do it, if you're sort of like, ah, I want to kind of say all of it to a person, but I don't want to intimidate them with this long email, what you do, because I agree, you write a really short email. Hey, lovely to see you at the conference. I just wanted to introduce myself. My top the top three things that make me especially great at audio narration are down below. If I can ever help you on a project, blah, blah, blah. And then down below, you do, three little bullet points of like this and this and this. So
Got
the email's short because you're saying, oh, well, down below my signature is like some other stuff.
Right.
That's how, whenever you have a bit of information to convey in an email, breaking it up like that is super effective
Okay.
because then they think they only need to read this little bit, but then what you write here is to get them to come read that.
Yeah. Okay.
Every single piece of the way you write an email is to get them to read the next sentence. The subject line is to get them to open it. Your first sentence is to get them to read the next sentence. This upper part is to get them to look at the bottom part or the attachment or whatever. It's like every line of that serves a purpose, or to click the link. Like, yeah. So it's all about curiosity and vibrancy in your writing. It doesn't, not a lot of words, but carefully selected words that pack the punch. So there doesn't have to be that many of them. So that's another way to do it. But you just want to be cycling through and pitching yourself, giving them little nuggets of your magic fairy dust. Instead of just like, here's my demo. Hope you hear it. Hope you hear the goodness. Like, tell them the goodness. And when someone compliments you, like from a job, and you get a great quote, that's your next email to everybody. Oh, this was music to my ears, and so validating to hear somebody succinctly sum up what I brought to the project. I would love to help you with your next blah, blah, blah. And that is very based off your YA work, and you might have a different version of that for what you bring to the adult work.
Right.
Okay,
For
so.
the adult work, it's more just like, I'm also branching into this in case you've got that. It's like
Yeah.
a little pointer, like a little quick, like maybe kind of thing.
Absolutely. And PSs are great for that because people, if they see a PS and the PS doesn't go under your signature, it goes right under your name,
Right.
PS above the signature, that's a great place because people will often read those first. Oh, what is she saying? PS.
Yeah, that's great. Okay.
And so, keeping in mind when you're communicating with people is that you get picked because you're solving a problem that they think they have. How are we gonna, oh my gosh, this book has like multitudes of characters. We need somebody who can do a ton of character. Like, okay, then you show up and going, I can do this and I can do that. So, do you have, it sounds like you do, but do you have clarity over, like, these are the kind of jobs I love to do, and these are the type of people doing those books, and then try to get yourself connected and into their orbit.
Right. No is the short answer because desperation is the, something of invention, but it's also the something of, shotgunning everything. So I haven't done, well, a couple of things. One, I haven't done the research into who kind of does the things that I love. And two, it's a little tricky in the publishing world, especially with the Big Five, because the Big Five don't stay in a genre. Like the producers within a Big Five don't stay in a genre. So like, perfect example, the guy who was trying to get me like an adult mystery brought me the middle grade. So no, because I've been too desperate. It would be an interesting exploration and
And how much research have you done as far as like interviews with other people who do audiobooks of how they've gotten their jobs?
zero.
That's something to definitely do. That's what I always do when I'm like, I want to do this. How have other people done it? It'll be different ways, but there might be little breadcrumbs that
Right.
you can, little trails of breadcrumbs that you can also follow.
Yeah.
And what
I've
you
interviewed friends, but I haven't, like, the people who've done thousands of books, I haven't researched them.
And it doesn't even have to be the giant people, but people who have like, wow, gosh, like they win an Audie Award. The
Right.
nominees, that's a great list to be like, and you reverse engineer the Google search. It's like, okay, well, what was their last interview? And did they mention something in that interview about their other first? Like, you just keep following back through the interviews to get to their earlier interviews where they're talking about where they are. Which is equivalent to where you are. It's sort of like, I want to know what Brad Pitt did to get himself to Hollywood. Like, how did that happen? How did Charlize Theron, like, what was that origin story?
Yeah.
I don't know where they are now. And the networking with your colleagues. Because if you knew, I'm sure if you knew people's work and you heard a job that you were not right for, and the a great if I were in your shoes, the audiobook people I would be asking to, hey, can I just talk to you for like 10 minutes and just hear about like how you got into the business would be dudes because you aren't competing with them.
Right.
And they might be like, oh yeah, this is how I did it, and, da, da, da. And there might be some really good breadcrumbs there that you could follow. So this is about you not only, and you're doing a great job of cultivating, the direct the producers and that stuff, but also there's the group of your colleagues, because when they hear about stuff that they're not right for, they can pass it on to you, and you likewise to them, and then also. You can make connections sometimes with writers.
That and that's the next step for me. That's the next deep dive of like, who are some writers that I like? Okay, they're a little too high up, but like, who's the parallel of them who's like just coming up kind of thing. So yeah.
And you want to really, really ask yourself. Not just who are the writers I like, but who writes stuff that I could crush. Like I would be so good. It might not even be your favorite thing to read, but you're looking to match what you bring to the table as a voiceover artist and that. So the good news is you have not exhausted the territory of mining for work. And it's just about like, okay, I've got this many hours in the week to devote to the entirety of my career. What slice of that is going to go to audiobooks? And then what are the best things I can do with that time that I have for that? And it definitely, you're not, so far, the activity that you've listed and explained to me, you're not spinning your wheels. You're doing the great stuff. And so it's like, okay, I've got my list of the 60 and I'm going to always email them consistently. Great. Now you can add another little thing to that. And once you do with co colleagues and interviews and some research, and you're like, okay, I've got some more ideas, then you can add authors into that. And you just kind of keep building your little machine.
Yeah, and that's what I have to be careful about because I'm definitely a 0 to 100 person as opposed to a hanging out at 50. So, and I sort of paralyze myself. So yes, hearing about like just gently adding in the next gradient or whatever is very helpful, like the next ripple, right? Of, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the there's when you have when your side business is also a creative business, because you have now audiobooks plus acting plus voiceover. And are you repped for acting and voiceover? Okay, so you have agents that are also out there helping you get.
For voiceover, I've done like zero marketing because I just, for better or for worse, just rely on my reps and I get a lot of
Yeah.
other, so I'm not, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Then that just gives you more time to put towards the self-generated
Right.
work. And the money that you made from like your past five projects, was that lucrative and substantial, like it paid the rent?
Yeah, so the
Nice.
first book, which was really 2 to 3 books, guys, it was 24 and a half hours of audiobook, which don't go listen to it. That's what got me over the top for like past my monthly number, just that book. So if I can hit, like, my goal is if I can hit 20 to 30 hours or somewhere even close to that a month, I'm trying to be very much the abundance bound version of like not more is better, but just like if I can hit this is what will make me comfortable for the rest, right? And then everything else is gold. So yes, the first book got me August basically, and then the next will get me sort of September plus.
So then, with that said, this is what I think should be your side business. Not any, don't bring anything else into the mix. You've already proven. And the other thing that you said when you were telling me kind of your backstory, here's the other thing we know is that when you do work, you get asked back, you get referred to other people. So your work is begetting work, and that's what you want. You want that kind of momentum. So what we now know is any effort you put into audiobooks will likely not only get you a return, but an exponential return. Not just effort for one job, effort for one job, but effort for a job that turns into another job or that turns into a book series that gets you referred to another job. So then you're getting three jobs for every bit of effort you put forth. That's what you really want.
That's very helpful to
Yeah.
think about. Okay.
Yeah. So then if you,
No, just okay.
I was just gonna say, so if you want to have 20 to 30 bookable, billable hours of audiobook work a month, then I would probably think you are also putting in a total of 40 hours a month of audiobook work. And so your goal then, your metric to hit every single month is 40 to 45 hours a month focused on your audiobook biz. And any of that time that isn't billable hours is time that you spend getting out into the industry and talking to people and researching things and that. So when you book a job or two and you do 30 billable hours, then you only have to spend 10 other hours getting your next job.
Got it. Okay.
And that's the metric I would work with to see how that works for you. And then your acting career and your voiceover work goes around that. Probably 40 more hours a month on that side of things. And then you track it every week. And you just, this is when I'm working this week, and this is what I'm doing this week when I sit down to work. Yeah. And then it's just about momentum being built.
Okay. Great. Great,
Great.
great,
Great.
great.
Thank you for your question. It was superb.
You.
You're welcome. Evan.
Hello, Christine.
Hello, Evan, who is a freelance technical writer with focus on engineering applications as his side business to his performance and voiceover career. Cashflow Tiger. Really great question. Okay. You wrote, it's been a year since your contract began with your current technical writing client, and the contract is due to expire at the end of August. So the next couple of weeks, you're planning discussions around renewing that contract. And right now, you're contracted at $75 an hour with a maximum of 20 hours per week. And you'd like to ask for $85 an hour with the same maximum of 20 hours per week, but you're nervous about how to ask for that or state that. Yes, you're a contractor, so yes, you set your own rates, but at the same time, This is like your main client, your bread and butter client, and you do need the bread and the butter. So it's hard to feel like, well, I don't have that much leverage because no, I definitely want the gig. So you were thinking also about having like an off the books chat with a friend who got you the job to just sort of like test the waters and get his perspective on like, should I ask for this raise, or the rate increase? But you don't know if that is reasonable to do. Okay. First of all, I really like how you're thinking about like, okay, well, I don't have like you're assessing the situation. Like, okay, I don't have that much leverage. I do, though, want to ask for a rate increase. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty, but I just for everybody listening, there is one sentence that is holding you back from the possibility of getting more money. And that one sentence is, would we be able to negotiate a rate of $85 an hour? Would we be able to negotiate a rate of $85 an hour? Now, if you do not ask that question, you will not get more money. I'm not saying if you ask the question, you will get more money, but we know that if you don't ask that question, you won't get any more money. Then it comes down to, okay, am I in a situation where if I ask that question, I'll lose the gig? Probably not, because you've been working for them, you've been turning in good work, you really know this company very intimately in a way that not many people do. I just know this because of our past conversations. So chances are, if they can't make $85 an hour, they'll just go no. And then you're like, okay. Or they go, how about 80? But if you don't ask, you'll never know if it's possible to get more. So you
Right.
definitely should ask.
Okay.
Then, when you don't have a lot of leverage, it becomes an ask, not a, oh, this is what's happening. If you want me another year, I'm 85. It's not an alt like an ultimatum. It's an actual ask, but it's okay. Asking doesn't mean you're in a position of weakness. It just means you don't have enough leverage to walk away from the table.
Right.
So then it's an ask. Asking is fine. Asking's appropriate. And I think the worst case scenario, if they're considering re-upping your contract, is they just go, no, we can't do that.
Okay.
And you go, okay, I understand.
And it, I guess that like, 'cause I am trying to prepare for if it is no, and if it is no, and I go ahead with it. If I accept it and I go ahead with keeping the same rate, does that make me lose leverage in the future? Like I've already shown that I'm a pushover, that I will just succumb to the rate. And is this like that? That's part of where my mind goes next, if that's the scenario.
Such a good question, because I was gonna go right down that road with you. Because that's the worry, like, oh my God, if I like ask for 85 and they're like, no, and then, oh no, now am I just this person they can dictate? No. However, if they say no and you're like, and you're like, okay, well, I can, ad and you say things like, I can adjust a few things and I think I can still make 75 doable. That's how you phrase it. Okay, well, okay, let me think about that. Or, and then you come back and go, yeah, I could adjust some things. And so that's doable. Let's continue for a year at that.
Okay.
And then my next thing is, well, how do you get yourself the leverage so that next time you can say it is 85 if you want to continue? And the way you do that is you get more clients. You just have to have a deeper bench so that they're not your only person.
Right.
But I also think you're not in a situation where because they say no to this inquiry, I don't think they think, I don't think you lose stature in their eyes. You might gain stature because you asked. I think people who sit year after year after year in jobs or in renewed contracts and never ask for more money, that's seen as weak. That's kind of seen as like, oh, this is great. They're just going to keep working. You know, everybody else around them is getting raises and stuff, but they're fine. That I so I think the ask is a sign of your strength. And then so I would make the ask, see, even if they say to 80, that would be great. And then if they say no, now you know. Now you know that they're probably set with you at 75. So then you go get yourself some more clients.
Okay.
So how does that sound?
That helps. That sounds good. And it helps me feel more reassured and confident when I either have the phone call or write the official written emails that I'm ready to renew the contract. And it helps calm a lot of the anxieties that I've had around the potential no. So.
Yeah, because I really don't, unless they were already planning on not renewing your contract, unless that is already a done deal in their mind, and in that case, there's nothing you could do about that, they're not going to let you go. If they still have work to do and they want the work to be done, they're going to pick you. And I actually think that you'll gain their respect by asking, by just saying, would we be able to renegotiate at $85 an hour? You don't have to explain anything. That's the whole, that is the whole sentence. That's it. And then
Right. I don't need to
they
justify
can come
myself.
back
I
and
just
then they,
like this is.
yeah, that's the strength. That's the strength. Strength isn't just about like, fuck you, I can walk away at any minute. No, I mean, that is, that's some strength, but there's many different ways to be strong. And knowing, you know, that this is something that you are absolutely, quote unquote, worth. You're not asking for something crazy and you're not going up like, you know, $50 an hour. It's a real good, strong ask, Evan. And I want you to just know that if saying this sentence is a sign of my strength.
Okay.
Okay. I look forward to hearing how it goes and I wish you the best.
Thank you. I will keep you posted.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good question. Good question. Sigh. Hello. Okay.
Hi.
So, yeah. Did you want to?
I was going to preface, I don't know if I need to, but I realized after I sent my question that this was so I'm like still kind of learning this process and this system, and I have started the mindset module, but I haven't started the cash flow module. So I don't know if this is question is like appropriate for this discussion, but I didn't realize that till after I sent it. So I guess you
Yeah,
can kind of determine that.
it's totally
Okay.
appropriate.
Okay, cool.
We do a lot of mindset work, and so glad you said that word. Alex, if you're still there, I'm going to circle back with you because we didn't actually talk about your mindset question, and it's a good one. So want to do that. Okay, so Sai is
Victory.
a cash flow. Oh, first of all, victory. This week you finally started the money mindset course. Congratulations. Love it. Love to hear that.
Yes.
Mindset's my favorite thing. So you have your whole day job, and this is sort of like, I'm sort of investigating what might be either a job change or a side business. So you're
Yes.
looking, just sniffing around. And you wrote, it recently occurred to me that the skills I employ in my casting career could translate to other industries. For example, I'm intrigued by the consumer packaged goods space. And my friend said perhaps I could work in a business development role at a startup or an emerging brand. And my imposter syndrome immediately rears its head and says, yes, you might have the skills, but you don't have the degree or the 3 to 5 years of experience. And friends have said that bringing an outside perspective might be an advantage, but my doubt persists. Yeah. So it's always a thing of the feelings that come up. It's like, oh my God, I don't have the experience required. So there is a set of stories that it would behoove you to start telling yourself if you are to have any chance at building, carving a new road for yourself. And one of those is that I bring a lot to this table, and they might not exactly know what they're looking for yet. Because here's the thing, when you're getting a job, there's going through the front door, which is where most people are knocking on the front door. Here's my resume, here's the Indeed site, and I plug in my stuff, and here you go. Most people get jobs through the back door or a side window. And so that's really where people who are like, I'd be really good at this, but I have like no actual experience. Then you're going to be climbing through a side window or going through the back door, through connections, through whatever. But that's how most people get the jobs anyway. And here's the thing about the front door. In this day and age, the gatekeeper at the front door is now an algorithm. It's now AI. And that is why job descriptions, even before, job descriptions are written like, we need this much education. We need this. You need to know this computer program, and you need to know this and this, is because there needs to have something that disqualifies people. Oh, they don't have a college degree. Then we can throw those resumes into the trash. Oh, they don't have 3 to 5 experience. Throw those. They're just trying to whittle down the thousands of resumes to 10. And everybody's afraid of hiring people because when you make a mistake, then the bosses are like, why the fuck did you hire this guy? Oh, but he had this and he had this and he had this and he had this. That's what makes a safe hire, that you check all the boxes. Doesn't necessarily make a good hire, just makes a cover your ass hire. People hired through the front door, it's cover your ass hires. The best jobs are back here. It's harder to get there, but it's hard to find a good fit. But the story you have to be telling yourself, I've just had the same conversation with a private client this last week. It was like, you have to tell yourself that there is a needle in the haystack with your name on it. Or else, why bother looking through the haystack if you don't believe there's a needle? Don't bother. Don't bother looking if you don't think it's possible. The story has to be, I am the answer to somebody's prayers. And I only need one job. How many jobs do you need? One at a time. Like if you're going for like an actual 40-hour week job, one job. You are an amazing human being, Sai, because I actually know you and I know this to be true. Any would be lucky to have you just in their environment, because you add to it in such a positive way. And I talk about this in other cash flow recordings, and I posted in the community a post, I think it was this year, but you can search my name and the post that I've done. And there was a post about getting jobs, and I reference, I think, the exact recordings where we talk about, how do you do job interviews, and how do you like? So I have even, there's that. But here's the thing. If you can get through the back door and the side window to get the interview, and even if you're only doing this through a cover letter, your job is to shift their perspective about what they actually want and what they actually need. One of my lines that I used to use, because I mean, I didn't have any experience for any of the jobs I've ever had, and I have no experience. But what I could say was, I don't know, because I was an actor, So I'm like, I don't know how long I will be with you as an employee. But here's what I can guarantee. Your company will be better off for having me here than not. And not everybody who walks through that door would be able to give you that guarantee that you will be better for having me here, even if I'm here a little less time than the next person. So that's one thing, because you have to figure out what they're actually needing. Because companies are like, well, we need somebody with a bachelor degree with 3 to 5 years of experience in blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah. And you need somebody like this. You probably need someone with this soft skill. You probably need somebody with this who's able to handle these kind of situations. And the, you tell them what they need. And then they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So then they have these three people that check all the boxes, and you're little weird unicorn over here. And then they can decide, do they want to go with the unicorn and teach them the skills? Because anybody can learn skills. Anybody can learn a program. There's some jobs, of course. I can't walk into a job and be like, I don't know anything about coding, but I'm really nice. Like, that's not going to fly. But especially in the jobs that you're thinking about, which is like startups, branding, marketing, they need your brain. They need a brain and a personality and communication skills and reliability and teamwork. And none of that is on a fucking resume that an algorithm's looking for. An algorithm can't identify a team player. They can only identify someone who has a bachelor degree in something. So you want to say that too. It's like, but so this is great. You're at the stage where you're like sniffing around and just going like, what's interesting? So you're at the stage where you need to have conversations with people. Who does what you do? Who did with that? Like, what is it? What is these? What are the, you don't even know the types of jobs that exist that you might be right for. I
Yeah,
didn't know
exactly.
personalized organizer existed. I was like, oh my God, that's a job. Like, sign me up. I didn't know. You don't know what could be like this perfect little fit. And then once you kind of know, oh, this I think is the field or the kind of business or the type of work I want to do, then you're like, oh, who has these problems that need somebody to help them with it? Because I'm that person, hire me. And then it's about connecting. And you're gonna meet somebody at some party and they're gonna mention something and you're like, well, I totally do that. And they're like, oh my God, let me introduce you to my thing. And then you have an interview and you on the back door. And that's how you'll get the best jobs. And by the best jobs, I mean the best jobs for you with your right people. So start sniffing around. And this is the greatest thing because you have a job. So it's like, okay. So then decide, I'm going to spend this many hours every week just like looking around, researching, talking to people. How does that hit you?
Yeah, it's first of all very the mindset portion of that is incredibly helpful. And yeah, I mean a part of me like also is confident that I like have the ability to do it, but it's the proving it to the people that's kind of like the challenge. Especially when I don't even know what the job really is. So a part of it is like being like I need to figure out what these jobs even are. So I think it's a lot of like what you kind of said at the end there is like finding out like what are the jobs, what is this job? I don't know what I don't know, you know, as we say. And then I actually currently don't have a job, which is kind of funny. So I was wanting also just like a practical approach to, because I get overwhelmed where it's like I don't even know where to start, and then I don't start because there's a little bit of a perfectionist, like this has to be done exactly the right way. So it's like practically like I was thinking spending like 2 hours a day for the next couple of weeks, like just researching in the way that I do when I'm working, you know, is like start to just like act like I'm applying to these jobs, find the jobs, and just figure out what are the jobs, who's doing the jobs, like that kind of thing. Like just what is this market? What do I not know? And starting to kind of unravel it.
is kind of what I was planning to just kind of do from a practical, like actual day-to-day standpoint, you know.
Yeah. So this is how I look at it. When someone is like, I need a job. I do not have a job right now and I need a job. If you're in that position and you're like, I need a job, but holy shit, I also need just like fucking money, then you add the component of like, I don't know, what can you do for $100? Like, where, you know, what can you do? What can you do that people need? Clean their house, like basic
Yeah.
stuff. Like, what can you do to just make cash? We're not talking about that right now, but that's
No,
an
no.
element.
Yeah.
That's separate. Not like, what side business can I suddenly start? No. Just what do you, how, what can you do for just fucking cash money? If that's a pressing need in your case, then I look at it as like, well, if what you want is a 40-hour a week regular job, then 30 hours a week job searching, 10 hours. I never say if you want a 40-hour a week job, you should do 40 hours a week of job stuff when you're job searching, because one, you don't want to burn out, but also this moment in between jobs, reserve a couple hours a week to catch up on stuff and do stuff that you just weren't able to do when you had the job. It's a luxury also to be between jobs in some ways. But 30 hours a week, if you're looking for a 40-hour a week job, and some of that is on just the job boards and stuff, but other of it is conversations. Who else do you have to talk to? And the first thing I do always, even if you're like, I don't even know what job I want, doesn't matter. An email needs to go out to everybody you know. Hey guys, looking for another job. This is what I've done. This is what I think I'm good. This is my skills, my strengths. I'm looking for like a 40-hour week with benefits, or I'm only looking for a night. Like, tell us all the specifics. Night times, weekends, flexible schedule, remote work. Do you want to go in? If you do want to go into an office, what's your perimeter that you want to commute to? Like, no farther east than here and no farther. Like, tell us so we can help vet opportunities. I just got an email from somebody in a group, and she's like, here's my resume. I'm looking for a job. I'm like, oh God, no. I need to know all of these things, because otherwise you're making me work and looking at your resume and interpreting it and matching it with opportunities I might hear about. Give me all the details that you know of at this moment. These are my skills, my strengths. I could probably do something like this or this or this. I'm looking into this. Don't know if it's a right fit, but if you have any leads, that would be great. Have your friends who know you and know what a great person you are be informed and eyes and ears out in the world, because you never know. You don't know who anybody that you know knows. You don't know who the people you know. And you want them all working for you. So that's the first thing I would do. And then as you get more idea, like, oh, you know what I really want to do? This. Then send out another email going, guys, I'm still looking. I'm really looking in this area though. Okay, just give me this just a little more information for them. So get your marketing team out there working for you. And then 30 hours a week, conversations with people, researching things, applying for just whatever you see in the front door. Please fine, apply in the front door area too. And then if you come across a job and you're like, oh, this sounds like really like I could maybe do this, find the company and then apply through the front door, but then call the company. Hey, who's in charge of hiring for this? And then maybe if they're local, you go in. Like, you have to do something to get yourself to the front of the line, even if it's dropping off a cover letter and a resume with a picture on it, so they see you're a real person. Like, hey, this really nice guy. People, when I ran a theater for a while, and every once in a while there'd be actors and stuff that would come in and drop off their headshot, and my boss would always ask me, what were they like? Did they treat you well? Were they nice? And sometimes they treated me like shit, and I was like, and sometimes, you know, I'd be like, oh, you wouldn't want to work, because she's like, I don't want to work with anybody who's horrible. So, and I was the gatekeeper, so you don't know whose ear the receptionist has or the first person you hit when you walk in an office. And if you're telling yourself the story that, oh my God, it's so shameful to be like walking and looking for a job. I feel like such a loser. They'll believe you. People usually believe the vibe you're sending off. But if you're like, dude, the best jobs are through the side window or the back door, and I'm just trying to like, and you can say, I really think from what I know about your company that I might be a good fit and be able to solve the problems that this job opportunity is there for. I think I'm fit. So I just wanted to like show you I'm like a cool person and here's my resume. You have no idea if that, well, but what if it did work? What if it did get you a call? So it's about every day, because sometimes your balloon will deflate and you have to fill it back up, reminding yourself, I am the fucking answer to somebody's prayers. I just don't know who that person is. And it's my job to find out who needs me. Because I'm an amazing person with a lot of experience under my belt, which you do. You have a wide range of experience and so many skills from your performance career. You're just full of skills and strengths. And here's the thing, guys. This is for everybody. You know who's not going to reject you? You know who's not going to think, oh, what a loser? You know who is happy that you're advocating for yourself? Your right people. Your right people are going to be like, he's so cool. That's how you find your right people. You put yourself out there. Your not right people are the ones who just reject you or make fun of you or whatever. But your right people are always like, ooh, who's this guy? And it's chemical. It's it's an alchemy. So go for it. But right now, just sniff around and start investigating and let all your friends know you need a job.
Okay, thank you.
Alex, you there? Yes. Okay. So you wrote your question on the mindset part was maybe this is just about having faith. I definitely have the story that nothing ever changes, even though I think I have clear evidence to the contrary, especially this year. But my brain looks at that like, oh, that wonderful thing that happened to me is an anomaly. How could it ever happen again? As opposed to evidence that this is
Please tell me
working.
I'm not the only person whose brain does this.
No.
Okay, good. Thank you, Ashley.
Oh my God, me too. Me too. I had to train myself to adopt this as the main story and way I talk to myself. Yeah. And especially if you have conditioning from the way you were raised to be like, oh no, oh no, that's just luck. That's just the thing. And that's hard. Years and years and years of that to retrain your brain to be like, no. So it's mindset work is a practice because you do it and then you slip back into the old conditioning and then you have to drag your brain back and go, no. We are going to tell ourselves this story today. It takes energy to do that work. But as an outsider, if we're talking about your audiobook biz, everything that you've said today all points towards that it's working. That none of those things, booking a job can be an anomaly. It's not an anomaly when you do a job for somebody and they recommend you to somebody else. Why in the fuck would they do that? It's not an anomaly when you do book one of a series and they don't replace you for book two. That's not an anomaly. That's, we love her. She's doing a great job. And one of the things when I was working through this stuff that my life coach, she is a no-nonsense woman. She didn't actually reach across the table and grab me by the shoulders and shake me, but the vibe of that was present. She's like, trust the pattern. There is a pattern in your life that has been going for quite some time, and you keep doubting the pattern. And she's like, there is a clear pattern. Trust the pattern. And that became my mantra. Trust the pattern. Trust the pattern. So I have three. I have lots, but three that is like a little set. Trust the pattern. Follow the breadcrumbs. Eyes on your own paper. Trust the pattern. Follow the breadcrumbs. Eyes on your own paper. That's my little trio. Thank you,
Thank
Ashley,
you.
for the
Thank
snacks. I see them. Yeah. Yeah. You
Thanks.
keep coming back here and you keep telling us about your audio biz, and I'll tell you when it's gone to the shitter and you should stop. I promise. I promise.
Okay, good. As
I
long as you
won't let you just
promise.
wallow in this. This ain't working, girl. But so far, I see no evidence that it's not working. You're doing all the right things. There's some stuff you can add. Just keep up the consistency of the hours and keep telling the universe, this is what I want. More. Thank you. Happy more, please. Thank you. I'm happy more, please. Yeah. Good work. Good work. Okay. So I see hands up. We'll do Cora and Christina and Liana. Cora. Are you there?
I'm here. I just wanted to not be on mute. Hello.
That's a good plan. I like it.
Yeah. Give me one sec. I'm just gonna
Okay.
step out.
No worries.
Yeah, so I have been here before. I sort of started cash creating cash flow last fall, I would say late year. Late last year. And then this is both mindset and just sort of like kind of keeping myself accountable and just showing up and being like seeing what happens. Because I'm definitely at a place of like, anyways, I think I need to explain my whole journey. I got training to be a coder, was applying for jobs for almost a year. But then was like, okay, maybe I'm just gonna freelance. And then sort of dabbled in the creating cash flow, had a client that was more for my portfolio, not paid much, $700, still with that client, because that's going very slow and tedious. Because I've also been applying to, I decided in January, I was like, you know what? I never really fully did the application game for becoming a front-end engineer. Just really going to dedicate myself. Definitely dedicated myself. I'm really proud to say I got an interview with Pinterest and like all these big companies did not go through. So now I'm just like frustrated because I spent a lot of that time doing that. But now I'm gonna hold on just a sec. Just want some privacy. Now I've been like, I told myself I'm gonna do this for 8 months. Nothing happens. I'm just gonna freelance. I just can't do this. Because there's really not time to do both with acting. I'm now at a place where that 8 months is coming up at the end of August, and I'm like, okay, let's like really give this like one last go. But like I'm pretty hopeless, and also very, it's been a lot of like identifying what I'm good at in this tech industry, because it's like I'm not moving forward. So like maybe, and I did realize that at the end of my course, I was like, oh, I'm really good at product management. That's not what I studied. I studied coding. Does not hurt me as a product manager, only helps me to know coding. But now, so there's a lot going on. I started applying to associate product positions as well. Haven't really moved that, then haven't gotten any interviews with that. I think it's time to just sort of be like, okay, let's just freelance. Like, or there's another thing that popped into my existence, which was, okay, like, what am I truly, really good at? And like, makes me better than anybody out there in tech. And it's like, I'm really, really good at talking and connecting people and telling people, like, oh, you're doing this thing, you should talk to this person. And I'm very good at that. And I actually told ChatGPT that. And it was like, then you should be a developer advocate or a product manager. And I was like, what the hell is a developer advocate? Looked it up. It is a position that literally creates content for coding for companies. Granted, I could probably do that myself, but I do think it's kind of great that, like, I don't have to go and find other people's products. I literally do it for a company. And you do need to have a technical background so that you can understand what they're working on. I was like, oh my God, this is like perfect. So I am in this place where I'm like, okay, I guess maybe I'm going to start applying for this. It's not something I've ever heard of somebody freelancing in, but what do I know? I literally just Googled this like a week ago. But I am at a place where I'm like, I want more control. I want my money to not be decided by these applications. And yes, I've been doing some backdoor situations. I've showed up with my application at offices. I've always reached out to the personally to the companies, usually on LinkedIn. I haven't made calls, so that might be a better way to go. And really, and then my other thing that I have coming up that I also want to be ready for whatever I decide to do is that I've decided to help the LA Tech, they're a group here in Los Angeles. They host events, but they have a very, they mostly do them in Venice and Santa Monica. And I ran in, I've gone to two of them and I've ran into the person who runs them both times. And he was, I was like, hey, I was at the East Side. He was like, oh, so great. He's like, we're actually looking for a host. And I was like, let's connect. I will think about this and consider it. And on my drive home, I was like, absolutely, 100%. I will absolutely host the East Side events. And it puts me in a power position. It just gives me an opportunity for whatever I decide. And so I am doing that, and it's going to be September, mid-September. And we talked, and he was like, I want people to, you know, if you're hosting this, I want, what are you giving? And that's when we talked about like what I'm really good at, which is connecting people and gathering people and chatting with people and encouraging people. And usually they always go to that next step and like are like, oh, thank you for the encouragement. And I'm like, you can do it, and this is what you need to do. And so yeah, I'm just really good at cultivating and inspiring people to do things. And so he was like, okay, that's a great skill, but what can we give you? I don't want you to. I was like, oh, well, I will be frank. And I told him everything that we've talked about. And he was like, okay, well, so like, what's your approach? Like, what's your ideal client? What's your, and I was like, okay, well, I told him, I was like, granted, since I just had this thought yesterday, maybe I have some work to do to answer these questions. He's like, absolutely, come with them ready so that you can pitch yourself. And then you can follow up and maybe get some referrals. And so I have this lovely opportunity and I'm very grateful for it. And I want to be ready for whatever I decide. And yeah. And anybody who is in tech, please come.
That's amazing.
Thank you. And that's all, though. It's, I
Such
just don't
good.
really know. Yeah.
It is so difficult. It feels so awful when you do all the right things for a sustained amount of time and nothing comes of it. And sometimes that happens. And then you're like, well, what do I, what the hat, where do I put this little turd thing after? Like, how do I mindset the fuck out of this awfulness? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. One way to think about it is instead of looking at things as rejections, I'm rejected from a lot of shit. Miata's rejected. She's going through a lot of like stuff right now of where she's getting a lot of no's. And it's like the story that we cling to is those are redirections. Rejections are redirections. And it sounds like you were also, you got enough of those no's in just that coding thing you were going after. If you hadn't done that, you wouldn't necessarily have been desperate enough to look at this and discover, oh, wait, there's this whole other thing. And if you hadn't had that desperation that led you to kind of Googling online and finding out this stuff and really asking yourself, like, what am I really good at? Then you wouldn't have re-recognized the what an opportunity it would be for you to hook up with this organization and lead on the east side. And if that hadn't happened, you wouldn't have had that conversation with this person who's like, yeah, what's this? What do you need? What are the, and you're just like, oh, okay. Which is really his questions to you are up-leveling questions. It's like, let's get clear on what you want, what you can do, what you can. That's why sometimes when we lose a job or don't get an opportunity and we're forced to kind of go back out to the job market, it causes us to up level in a way where we wouldn't if we had just gotten the first thing we applied for. You're going to be clearer and know more about yourself and know more about how you might fit into the tech world because of what you've just been through. And you have a lot of empathy also. People who just go from success to success or job to job, getting jobs is easy, often don't have empathy for people who are having a more difficult time. And if you're in a leadership position of connecting people, you definitely want to have empathy around where everybody's at. You know, just makes a great experience. So, I definitely think you're onto something, and I definitely think the way your brain is working is great. The fact that you were like, I'm going to devote 8 months to trying this. That's the only way you were going to know if that's what needed to be done. And I think it's led you to a very interesting place that you may not have got to if you hadn't devoted those 8 months to this. And when we're in the middle of something, we have no hindsight. It's only going to be a few years from now where you will look back on this and maybe. We don't always get to know, but maybe you'll be able to look back and go, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, it's so clear now. Of course, that was my weird, circuitous path to this. And that is very comforting, but we don't get that till we're removed. When we're in it, and we're just having all the emotions. And that's when we have to kind of manage our minds so we're not freaking ourselves out all the time.
Yeah. And I'm definitely, oh, sorry to interrupt. I'm definitely managed. I would say the emotion, all the emotions are happening because like there's other things in my life that are happening where I'm like, I literally can't wait tables anymore. Like I just, it's physically like at a point of like, I don't want to do this. And financially too, I'm like, I need more. Like I don't actually need more, but like sustainably, I actually do. To retire when I want to retire, it's like we gotta up this, and I'm tired of being at this level for the long time that I've made it work thanks to like Miata's practices. I have freaking done really well with very little, but like I'm done.
How would we ever get pushed out of our little comfort nest And by comfort, I just don't mean comfortable. I just mean what we know.
Yeah.
Unless we get to breaking points. Breaking points are when we really find out what we're made of. It's like, okay. Okay. I remember the day in 2009, my husband came back from work at 2 p.m. with a box. And I'm like, okay, well, that means you don't have a job anymore because of the recession. He lost. And it was like, so then all of the breadwinning fell on my shoulders. It's like, okay. And I upleveled my business so much because I was being forced to, but I was just kind of going along at a level. But it was a dire situation because we were definitely a two-income household. It wasn't like we needed his income. So it was really scary. That's when you learn. That's when you build muscles fast. So this thing of like, I don't fucking want to wait another table ever again in my whole life. Good. Good. I don't want you to either.
Thank you.
Your soul is like, it's time. Keep going for it. You're go obviously going in the right direction. You know it. You're trained for it. You found this whole other segment all of a sudden. It's like, ooh. You're going in the right direction. Keep going. And how long are you going to keep going? Until, that's the answer to that. You go until you make the thing happen, or you find the thing, or the universe shows you the way. You just keep going until something happens because you've got the skills. So it's just like, okay. And the good news is it's fucking weird out here for everybody. Like, it's not like you're doing it wrong and you don't have a job. No, this world is topsy-turvy. The discomfort, turbulence that we're all experiencing now, and politics aside, just the technological turbulence that we are all going to be experiencing for the next all of our lives, because it's just ramping up and being and disrupting things and being very fat in fast ways. We're going to have to all get good at calming our own nervous systems and not waiting for everything around us to settle down, because it's not going to settle down. So it's about us being able to be steady in the mix of it. So it's not you. All right.
Thank you.
And just a little thing that I just experienced at a meeting that I thought was really cool. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they did this thing where it was like brag, ask, share. Everybody had to introduce themselves, say a little like a win that they've just recently experienced, like, oh, I was asked to do this, or oh, I won this thing, or brag. Then an ask. I'm looking for a job, or I need to hire an assistant if anybody knows, or I'm looking for your decorator, just. And then a share of like, hey, I know a lot about this, or if you ever needed somebody to talk about this, like just something that you can help other people with, a commitment, but just so that it's a great way to like quickly get a read on everybody in the room and know who, oh, I need to connect with that person and that person during the break and that kind of thing for mixers and stuff. So yeah. And then the last thing I just want to say is that you've just gone through almost 8 months of like, I had a plan. It didn't exactly work out to plan. The fact is, you didn't get a job during this time. But you're in charge of whatever meaning, whatever you're going to make that mean. Does it mean I'm a loser? Does it mean, oh my God, I have to go back to this? Does it mean, what I shouldn't have gotten educated in the field of coding. What does this mean? No, it could just mean that, like, yeah, okay. So in these 8 months with my connections and what I was able to do, I did not get a job. And maybe that was a redirection. And I'm just going to believe that so that I can get out of bed in the morning. We're not believing it because it's true. We're just picking the better feeling story. so that you can keep getting up and putting one foot in front of the other for the next 8 months of whatever you decide to do. And totally, you can like get freelancing work while you're exploring this other field. Like you can do it all at the same time, you
Right.
know. But I'm glad you dedicated yourself to that because you're stronger coming out of those 8 months that you were going into it.
Right.
And
Yeah,
that's
thank
what
you.
you gained. And that's what you can make it mean. Okay, maybe I needed some time to get to build some bigger muscles before the universe is going to deliver what I really want. I don't think the universe is going to deliver a package that you're too weak to hold. Sometimes it's like, oh, we have the package, but it's kind of heavy, so you need to build some muscles first. And so we're going to make it go like this. Because we don't build our muscles when everything's going great. We can build little ones, but yeah. So thank you, Cora.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
Good.
do you have any suggestions on like sort of how to navigate the what my offering is going to be and deciding that and like figuring that out?
Freelancing.
Yeah.
Here's the direction to go in that, and we can totally speak more about it the next meeting, bring it back. But you want to ask yourself, what is the problem that I'm solving for people, and who has that problem? It's not when you look at your skills and your strengths, that's great. That tells you like what you can do. But then it's like, what do these skills and strengths, how can they be applied to a problem? Because that's why you're paid. Solve a problem for somebody. And so even with when you're researching the product manager and the developer advocate and all of that, you have to keep asking yourself, who has, what are those problems that people need this position for? What does this position solve, and for whom does it solve problems for, and what are the problems? And once you work that out, then you're like, okay, I need this type of person with this type of problem because boy, can I solve that problem for that person. Think of it like that. Yeah. Because I can go like, la, 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 I'm an organ, or even me, like, la, 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 I'm a coach. I coach caregivers, especially. But so what? What problem am I solving for them? And who? Because I coach a specific type of caregiver. And they have a specific problem. Vicious people who are torn between their goals and the needs of the person they love. And they're like, oh, but I have my own dreams, but yet this person needs me, and all the shit that comes with that's who I help. Problem is they feel torn, and I can help them not. And so I have to communicate that so that they find me and go, oh my God, she's inside my head. She's solving my problems. Let me give her money. Awesome.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Christina B. Oh, just for everybody, because we're getting new people, you can, the three people I worked with first submitted questions. So that's how I knew to work with them first. So please, if you have the chance, submit a question early because that allows me to use our time well. But then any extra time we have, hands up, and then I will take questions in the order. So what's up? Hi. How's
Hi.
it going?
Good. I had my first call. It was with Ruthie and it went really well. I didn't do any prep before because I felt like I feel like I just know what I'm gonna say, and just like I just looked at her. I asked a pre question of like, what's the thing you're working on that you want help with? And so I was like, okay. But she asked a lot of questions. And which was actually really great because I was like, oh, I had answers for everything, but it was a really good exercise. And I recorded it for
Oh,
her, but
good.
also for me to go
Yes.
back and look. And I ended up coming up with a 5-step plan for her on the call, like just the intro, whatever, the free call. And she took the first step that day. And then I like figured out steps for her over the next week. So I'm gonna check in with her this week. So I guess, so yeah, it was really great. And she also like gave me really good feedback. She was like, run, don't walk to Christina to help you with your resistance. And so I was like, oh, can I use that little like snippet? Yeah.
Oh yeah, Alec, ask her. You mean if you want to use her audio?
No. I mean, like she wrote it in,
Yeah,
yeah.
ask her, can I use this
Ask
in my
her. Yeah.
marketing materials? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess two questions is just like moving forward with marketing. I started getting excited thinking like, oh, I could change the offer to this, but then I was like, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I should just wait to see how it goes with Ruthie and then pivot based off of that. Do you agree? Like the structure of my offer, because I was thinking like, okay, initially we talked about 60 days, like three calls in 60 days, and I was like, oh, maybe there's some momentum that'll be lost, or maybe I want to check in with people more frequently. To thought about debt, because she asked me on the call, well, what's how long? I'm like, oh, that's a great, it was nice that I could be like, I haven't thought about that. Like I was thinking 45 to 60, but now I'm thinking like maybe it's done over the course of a month so as not to lose momentum. And then if there's questions and we and you know, with her, we came up with five on the free call. So then maybe we come up with another five on the next call and then another, it could be different for everyone just based off of like how much they understand or like have to work through or how ready they are to like take action. So thought about dialing it back to like over the course of a month we do these calls. And then so I'm like maybe I just figure it out with Ruthie. But then also like marketing, like how do I market this outside of my network? Because I feel like I'm going to get more bites with strangers potentially than people I already know. And I feel most comfortable
Then you
writing.
want
Sorry.
people.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel most comfortable
That's
writing.
okay. Keep going.
Posting videos of myself talking. Even though I'm an actor, it feels so weird being myself
That's okay.
on camera. And I also don't want to shock my nervous system with like doing so this huge thing that feels so, I want to take my own advice and like, let's do the thing that I feel like I can do. Writing feels like that's it. I could use threads on Instagram and then I have a Substack. I can do it in those areas. I'm just trying to get people I don't know. So, I guess, and I'm doing it under my own name rather than creating another social media handle. Sort of because my like long-term strategy is I want to become more comfortable being like an artist that does multiple things because I feel like I have a lot of shame around that and just being like, fuck it, I can take up as much goddamn space as I want to. And also being like, okay, well, because I'm in the creative space with this, like potentially like, if I'm going to build a following or people that are going to like listen to me, I want it to like benefit like directing and like other avenues that I'm building as well. And it feels like a lot of work to start a new one, but it also feels more vulnerable. And I think that's maybe why the videos are harder for me because it's me on my account with people that know me
Yeah,
and not just strangers.
totally. So I think you can totally do writing. I like the idea of you doing it under your name. I just listened to an interview with Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, and they're multiple businesses. And they're like, oh yeah, we can't sustain ourselves and our life on with our art anymore. That's why we have like multiple businesses. Yeah, everybody. That's everybody. And the artists that don't have side stuff, they're either they broke a while ago to where they were able to do it inside a system, and or they started as a young child actor, for actors, and they're more the special circumstance. And everybody else is sort of like a multi-hyphenate. Everybody. I think it's all about the phrasing. So you can say, we're going to have three calls. All of my clients have different lives and are working at different speeds. So we have a container of 60 days in which to have these calls. And depending on what you're working on, sometimes you need to have a call and go away and do some stuff and then we come back. But other clients, we bang those out in 3 weeks because that's what the conversation wants it to be. So I make it flexible so we can, you know, accommodate what your conversation needs to be. The container is 60 days. That's how I would phrase that. And then
Okay.
I would say to you, get 5 clients under your belt and then reassess your offer.
Okay.
Go get 4 more clients and do it with them because then you'll know I want to do it
Right.
like this, or I want to change this, or it needs to be this. It will be clear to you. You just
Okay.
don't have enough experience yet with any offer to know if it's the offer, you know, or what your clients will need, or if there's a better way of work with them. You congratulations on the client. That's huge action. Love it, love it, love it. Love that your client was happy. That's great news. You're definitely on to something. So now the question is, what you do is you use the people you know to find the strangers. So you want to go to the people you know and go, look, I'm doing this, I'm offering this. Do you have a group or, you know, a writing group or any kind of group that you're a part of that you can freely let people know that this offer, this beta offer, which is a great deal, is on the table right now? And you can post it inside this group, but then make a list of your friends and go, ooh, and then ask them. You have to ask them, hey, can you? I have done that so many times. I've gone to my friends and say, I need to find people for this thing I'm doing. How do you have any ideas? And some people would host like things at their house for me. And my friends have done lots of weird things. Oh, I'll send it out to my mailing list. Oh, I'll do this. But you have to ask them
Right.
to help you.
Yeah, I think in the initial email it was just like, I'm doing this thing if you know of anyone, but maybe I need to like reach out again and
Oh
say,
yes.
okay.
Yes,
Yeah.
you guys
How
listen.
often is too often? Like I did it 2, 3 weeks ago. Like is I
No,
don't.
it's not even because you're not saying the same thing. The first email
Right.
you sent is just the first email you send to tell everybody you're doing this thing.
Right.
Now you're going back to those specific people and individually making a specific request. So you can do
Right.
that today.
Right.
Like,
Okay.
yeah. And then maybe 2 months from now, you do the whole email thing again. But you have to keep banging this drum. No one is thinking about you.
Yeah. There's a group I know that I've been to a ton of their events, and I'm pretty friendly with them. Like when the film that I directed was in their end of the year screening, and I've just come to enough things, and they do a lot of like co-sponsored events. They're not like a good friend, the people that run it, but I know them. Would it be weird to
No.
like say, hey, I'd love to do a like
No.
co-sponsored event or something, even though I'm still new at doing that?
I mean, do you have to do a co-sponsored event? Can they just like tell people? But you could. It's okay. To your right people, it's not
You're
going to
right.
be weird.
Yes.
They'll be like, that sounds awesome. That's how
Yeah.
you know, and you will get more mileage. I'll tell you this. Someone told this to me once, and I was like, that's not true. That's not going to be true. And it was absolutely true. You're going to get more mileage out of people that don't really know you that well,
Yeah.
your friends, and certainly your family. But your friends know that you're going to be their friend, even if they don't help you. But your colleagues know that if they help you, then you might help them later. And so there's a lot of mileage you get out of people that you don't know super well because it's more like, oh, this serves my agenda to help you with your agenda. And down the road, who knows? That's the currency of the connection, colleague to colleague.
Right. And so this approach would be more bang for my buck or just like get it, be more beneficial than like don't still like write on social platforms, but like
this is where it's probably going to get it moved further, faster.
Of course.
Okay. And because even like doing an event and being like, hey, we can like, someone could submit and I could just do the like, do it in with everyone. Like, let's figure out like something like that. Or just, yeah.
Yeah. Hot seat. Hot seats.
Yeah.
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 Let's talk about, what is your thing? Resistance or something?
I mean, it's not really what it was. That's just sort of what I helped Ruthie with, was her resistance. It's just taking
but it's
action.
Sort of like, let's talk about the thing you want to do and why you're not doing
it. Yes. And do it. And what can we do to get you to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is super helpful. Thank you.
You have to just try shit out.
Yeah, there's some spaghetti at the old wall.
So much out stuff. Some didn't work and some really did work. You just try shit out.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay. Sorry we went over, but thank you for coming. And I will see you, I think, two weeks from now. Yes, 2 weeks from now on the 18th. Okay. Good one. Talk to you later.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.